Julia Gold, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
As a climate change specialist here at the Department of Health, when you first started hearing reports about Zika virus, what went through your mind?
With any vector-borne disease, there is a potential relationship to climate change, but it is not necessarily direct, and there's a lot of research and understanding over time that we have to do to examine the relationship.
But no one was really talking about climate change, at least the media, at first when this started coming out, right? It was all about microcephaly, about what was happening to the babies. But you were thinking climate change. That's interesting.
That is true. So I think with most public health issues that have any relationship to the natural environment, I look at climate change and how does climate change play a role. So whether it is vectors and vector-borne disease or hurricanes or floods, I'm thinking about how is the public and public health impacted. And what is the relationship? So how is long-term climate change going to impact these types of events or diseases? And how will that impact Rhode Islanders and the public health of Rhode Island?
And you said the word vectors. So, you know, mosquitoes, fleas, ticks, those are what scientists
exactly
call vectors.
Yes.
Okay. And they carry viruses and bacteria, and many of them thrive in warm temperatures. And when I say thrive, that can mean a number of different things, right? It means that they have longer life cycles or different ranges, or they can bite more frequently.
Yeah, exactly. So climate plays a huge role in both vector ecology and diseases. And can be a complex relationship. So like when we're talking about mosquitoes, there are many, many different species of mosquitoes. And different species of mosquitoes can carry different viruses or diseases. So we have some here in Rhode Island that we do not see in other places, and vice versa. So climate plays a large role in what kind of vectors, mosquitoes, ticks, others, that can survive in different areas. So Rhode Island climate plays a big role in what we see here. We're not going to see vectors, mosquitoes that we necessarily see in the tropics. However, as our temperature changes here in Rhode Island, as our winters get warmer, our summers get hotter, more humid, it is possible that our climate here could become better suited for vectors that we don't have. So, for example, there are species of mosquitoes that we see in other parts of the Northeast, so like Long Island or parts of Connecticut, that we don't have here in Rhode Island yet, but we could potentially. So we're keeping an eye out very closely to track and make sure that we know if we have those mosquitoes here.
And so we haven't seen species of mosquitoes, for example, here in Rhode Island yet that are still further south, but we could, and that means that we could see the diseases that
right.
they bring.
So right now, we don't have 80s albopictus mosquitoes, but those are the mosquitoes, I believe, that we are starting to see in Connecticut, Long Island. So we're keeping track and making sure that we know when they, you know, enter into Rhode Island. But right now, we don't have a climate like Brazil that can maintain Zika virus. So as far as we know, that we don't believe that mosquitoes here can live in an environment where the virus could then develop in their bodies and where they'd be able to maintain the virus.
I'm wondering, can we predict, or have you done any modeling on how this movement of species or longer warm
sure.
seasons or what have you could impact the spread
yeah.
of disease?
So right now we are working both locally and nationally with partners at URI, at CDC.
The Centers for Disease Control.
Exactly. To better understand what is happening now and what we potentially we'll see in the future. So looking at, you know, the temperature thresholds for different species of mosquitoes and what their ideal living environment would be, and same for the viruses, and then to understand what changes would need to happen here in Rhode Island to have it be a suitable environment for those mosquitoes to live.
That's got to be incredibly complex to model, though, because it's not just temperature, right? It's humidity and
exactly.
other things.
Yeah. So one of the things that's really important to understand in terms of the relationship between climate change and vectors, that it that there are many moving factors. You know, we're talking about not only temperature and humidity, where the models are complicated and uncertain. There's a lot of uncertainty with especially humidity modeling and precipitation. But you're also talking about all the other things that go on in the environment, so the ecology. And this plays into whether or not we're looking at mosquitoes or ticks. So it is very complex, and it's something that we have to just keep looking at and to understand the trends we're seeing, the relationships in nature. The way that we respond and the way that humans interact with the environment is going to play a big role in what we see happen in the future.
Meaning how humans change their environment, like whether or not they pave over green space or clear forest or empty pools of standing water?
Exactly. So there's sort of the day-to-day behavior, and that will impact, you know, on an individual level, a community level, a state level, the choices that we make in our built and natural environments. At the same time, long term, you know, over the next 20, 30, 40, 50 years, the way we respond as humans to climate change and in mitigating climate change, reducing our carbon emissions, reducing, you know, our use of fossil fuels, that's going to play a role in what we see happen in our environment. You know, how much warmer is Rhode Island going to be? Well, that's going to depend on how we respond to climate change.
Julia Gold is with the Climate Change Program at the Rhode Island Department of Health. Thanks so much.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate speaking with you.